And you can see that in certain aspects and certain genres within podcasting. I feel like podcasting is so broad that, you know, we have all these different styles of podcasts. And so in this history of podcasting that we now have, what point do you think we're at now? And do you think we'll see more and more of these very private style podcasts? Is that a really large chunk of them? Do you think that will affect other forms like radio, traditional radio? Is traditional radio getting influenced by these podcasts that are taking things in different directions?
Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Listening to the test site of Acoustic Commons, available at wavefarm.org/listen or on any wgxc.org webpage if you click on the listen button. The test site of Acoustic Commons is a microphone in the Wavefarm woods that lets you overhear the sounds of nature, the live weather on the radio at wavefarm.org/listen or click on any wgxc.org webpage. Click on the listen button to hear the sounds in the woods at Wave Farm through the test site of Acoustic Commons.
On the next Deep Threes, We'll hear a piece from Danish trumpeter Polly Mickelborg's tribute to Miles Davis that was inspired by the colors of the legend's aura. Plus exotic sounds from Makanuchi Bento, Yanlin Chen, and Tatiana Koleva. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Are you tired of your flying saucer always breaking down on your way to Mars?
Wish you could get more bang for your whoopee at the gas pump?
Well, here at Flying Saucer Mart, we have the perfect flying saucer for you.
It goes as fast as light. It comes in a variety of colors and only costs you 75 whoopee.
Come down to 375 Bionic Ave in Pluto City and fly home with a new used flying saucer today.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bella Janssens of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Grabbable, handleable, listener-fueled radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Natasha Von Holdridge is reporting for Columbia Greene Media. Early voting in Columbia and Greene counties begins on June 18th for registered voters enrolled in the Democratic or Republican primaries. Columbia County Democratic Election Commissioner Ken Dow said, and I quote, "For all practical purposes, early voting is identical to going on Election Day. The voter checks in. If they are someone who's eligible to vote in this election, they are given a ballot. It goes right into the voting machine to be scanned. It's really identical from the voter's point of view to going on Election Day, except, of course, the locations. They are either in Hudson or Kinderhook, but it may be more convenient to come on a weekend or on one of the other days," end quote. The primary election will be held on June 28th. In Columbia County, Democrats will be choosing a candidate for governor and lieutenant governor. On the Republican side, there is a contested primary for governor, but not for lieutenant governor. Republicans also have a primary for the 106th Assembly District seat. Dow said no other parties have primaries. A separate special election will be held on August 23rd to choose a candidate to fill the remainder of the two-year term for the 19th Congressional District seat. The candidate chosen will fill the vacancy created by the resignation of now-Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado. August 23rd is also the primary date for congressional and Senate elections. Early voting in Columbia County will take place at two locations, the Columbia County Office Building at 401 State Street in Hudson and the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building at 3211 Church Street in Valencia. Early voters in Columbia County can cast ballots at either of the two locations, regardless of where they reside in Columbia County. Early voting hours are as follows: 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on June 18th, 19th, 21st, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, from noon to 8 p.m. on June 20th and 22nd. Early voting in Greene County will take place in Suite 430 on the fourth floor of the Greene County Office Building, 411 Main Street in Catskill. Early voting hours are as follows: 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on June 18th, 19th, 21st, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th, from noon to 8 p.m. on June 20th and 22nd. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. NBC reports that early voting begins June 18th in primary elections for governor and state assembly seat in New York. For Democrats, incumbent Kathy Hochul, Long Island Congressperson Tom Suozzi, and New York City public advocate Jemani Williams are on the ballot, and they face off a final time in a debate June 16th. U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, former Westchester County Executive Bob Astorino, and businessperson Harry Wilson and Andrew Giuliani, the son of New York City's former mayor, are on the ballot. Registered Democrats outnumber registered Republicans by more than 2-1 in New York, so the winner of the Democratic primary has a better shot at winning in November. After the debate, Hochul said she has, and I quote, evolved, end quote, from her previous pro-gun votes in Congress. Sauzi shot back, and I quote, the only thing that changed are the governor's political ambitions, end quote. Williams pushed back on Hochul's current gun positions. Williams said, and I quote, I was in the street trying to address this violence. And what we said each time when the violence happened is that simply adding police wouldn't help, end quote. And Hochul complained that as the front runner, the other two candidates were going after her. Hochul said to Sauzi, and I quote, please stop interrupting me. The people want to hear my answer, end quote. As of late May, Hochul reported $18.6 million in campaign money, with Sauzi with $5.25 million and Williams at $130,000. Read more about this story at NBC New York. Diane Vallon reports for the Columbia paper that the Copaig Town Board introduced Local Law Number 2 for 2022 at the June 9th town meeting, a proposal to allow board, committee, and commission members to participate in meetings via video conference. And I quote, under extraordinary circumstances, end quote. Town meetings would remain in person under the proposal, but Copaig Town Attorney Jonathan Tingley told the board that if one or two members cannot be there due to extraordinary circumstances, they could beam in remotely. Copaig Supervisor Jeanne Mettler said that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors passed a similar policy and that, and I quote, we've had some very good conversations and even debates remotely, end quote. A public hearing on the proposal will be held at 6:45 at the July 14th town board meeting. And you can read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics. The Environmental Advocates Action Group on June 16th released its scorecard of assembly members' legislative votes. Peter Ivanowitz, the group's executive director, said, and I quote, as this scorecard clearly shows, the assembly majority has a strong commitment to improving the health and environment of New York, with over 89 members receiving a score of 95% or better, along with the fact that no smokestack rating bill came to the floor for a vote. The assembly is providing the leadership New York's environment needs, end quote. Locally, the group gave these scores on environmental issues. Jake Ashby, a Republican who represents the 107th District, went from a 56 rating in 2021 to a 68 rating in 2022. Dede Barrett, a Democrat who represents the 106th District, went from a 96 rating in 2021 to a 100 in 2022. Colin Schmidt, a Republican representing the 99th District and running for the 18th Congressional District seat, had a 56 rating in both 2021 and 2022. And Chris Teague, a Republican representing the 102nd District, went from a 26 rating in 2021 to a 32 rating this year. There is a link to all the environmental advocates' rankings on the WGXC newsroom. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend. And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 61 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 47 degrees. And on Sunday, Juneteenth and Father's Day will be sunny with a high near 68 degrees. and it will be a mostly clear Sunday night with a temperature low of around 50 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Acre, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
Overture, curtain lights, this is it, the night of nights. No more rehearsing and nursing a part, we know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights, this is it, we'll hit the heights, and oh what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
Thank you. This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm. It's a WGXC radio news daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Former President Donald Trump's social media service, Truth, which he started after he was kicked off Twitter for lies and misinformation, is not a place one can be banned for their beliefs, right? Quote, I created Truth Social and TMTG to stand up to the tyranny of big tech. We live in a world where the Taliban has a huge presence on Twitter, yet your favorite American president has been silenced. This is unacceptable, unquote, Trump said in a press release last year before his site launched, bragging about the lack of censorship. Now Mike Masnick reports at TechDirt that Trump's Truth site is banning users for trying to spread some truths about the January 6th hearings. Quote, my Truth Social account was just permanently suspended for talking about the January 6th committee hearings, unquote. Travis Allen, a political commentator on social media and self-described information security analyst, posted on Twitter on June 9th, the day the first public hearing on the attempted coup of the United States was held. Quote, so much for free speech. This is censorship, unquote, he wrote. Jack Cocciarilla posted on Twitter a similar story on June 10th. Quote, I was suspended from Truth Social for posting about the January 6th hearing last night, unquote, he wrote. Quote, Donald Trump is scared of free speech, unquote. And this is not the first time that cancel culture has come to Trump's version of the truth. In February, TechDirt reported, quote, Trump's social network is rapidly banning users it doesn't like without telling them why, unquote. And the site's terms of service state that they may ban users. Quote, we reserve the right to, in our sole discretion and without notice or liability, deny access to and use of the service, including blocking certain IP addresses, to any person for any reason or for no reason, unquote. Of course, no one has a constitutional right to a Twitter or Truth account, and companies are allowed to do what they want, even if Donald Trump doesn't want you to believe that truth. A legendary figure in pirate radio history, Carlos Juan Camacho Jr. died June 8th in Tampa. Camacho operated La Primerissima, 89.3 FM, from his home in Ybor City in Tampa, Florida, playing salsa and merengue music in the 1990s. The station was raided by officials from the Federal Communications Commission on April 13, 1998. Radio Amore, another unlicensed Tampa radio station, was also raided that day by the FCC. That station was run by the Reverend Alberto Acosta, who broadcast on 90.1 FM from a Baptist church. That raid came 4 months after three other pirate stations, the Party Pirate, 87X, and Lutz Community Radio in Tampa, were taken down by SWAT teams and the FCC. Tampa was a hotbed of pirate radio at the time, and the FCC's Tampa office busted more unlicensed stations than any other office in the country. Camacho did a do-it-yourself triangulation to locate 87X and meet Kelly Combat, who was then running the pirate station. Quote, he proceeded to take me under his wing and school me on proper signal stabilization, how to use a limiter, how to tighten guy wires, and various other techniques in the operation of a professional pirate radio station, unquote, Combat wrote of Camacho on Facebook after his death. Quote, Carlos spoke in a thick, rapid-fire New Yorican accent, always with great enthusiasm about music and radio and family, unquote. Camacho was born in Puerto Rico on June 9, 1950. He ran the Red Plum Event Hall in New York, hosting performances from salsa stars including Hector Lavoe and Johnny Ventura. Camacho's obituary says, quote, he made the first sound truck known as the Compava in Puerto Rico, unquote, and also that, quote, he was an electrical technician and an alarm specialist, and at the same time he followed his dream of having his own radio station, which he successfully broadcast for several years, unquote. Broadcast Law Blog reports that the Federal Communications Commission is back with its monthly public meeting in July in person. The FCC closed its old office building to outside visitors on March 12, 2020, because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The agency has since moved to a new building. Axio reports that things are not all back to normal, though. The FCC is still a commissioner short, locked in a 2-2 tie between Republicans and Democrats, so nothing much can get accomplished. Quote, Biden was historically slow in picking his nominee, unquote, Gigi Sohn, Axios reports, who was nominated last October and has yet to get a full confirmation vote from the U.S. Senate. Quote, the absence of effort from the White House to see this through by pushing a nominee through is frustrating beyond belief, unquote, one anonymous advocate for progressive radio policies told Axios. They report that President Joe Biden does not yet have the votes to get his nominee through, with Democrat Joe Manchin undecided and Democrat Mark Kelly still evaluating her nomination. Sohn authored the net neutrality legislation and is considered a progressive Democrat. By comparison, former President Donald Trump promoted former FCC Commissioner Ajit Pai to chair less than a week after taking office and got Brendan Carr confirmed for the Republican majority seat by August in his first year. Mike Masnick at TechDirt reports about the likely unconstitutional law that New York passed in the wake of the Buffalo mass shooting. The law requires websites to have a, quote, hateful conduct policy, unquote. Of course, websites do not really have any conduct, but they contain speech. And the government is not allowed to regulate speech outside yelling fire in a crowded theater. The law defines hateful conduct as, quote, the use of a social media network to vilify, humiliate, or incite violence against a group or a class of persons on the basis of race, color, religion, ethnicity, national origin, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression, unquote. That describes speech, not conduct. And speech is protected under the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The law claims that it has nothing to do with free speech. Quote, nothing in this section shall be construed as an obligation imposed on a social media network that adversely affects the rights or freedoms of any persons, such as exercising the right of free speech pursuant to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution, unquote, the law says. If it does not regulate speech, what exactly is the conduct of websites that it seeks to alter? Paul McLean reports for Radio World that climate change is now affecting radio policy. Federal Communications Commission Chair Jessica Rosenworkel released a statement June 16th saying that the Bureau will work to improve cell phone reception during hurricanes and wildfires and other disasters. Quote, while wireless providers have worked hard to prevent outages and restore service during recent disasters, there were times when communications fell short and recovery took too long, which put lives at risk, unquote, her statement read in part. The western United States has seen more forest fires recently, and several large hurricanes have impacted the southern states, too. Locally, ice storms, high winds, and flooding have knocked out communications in recent years. Rosenworkel, the Democratic-appointed chair, and Republican-appointed Commissioner Brendan Carr visited in Louisiana after Hurricane Ida, and they, quote, heard firsthand where communications resiliency needs improvement, unquote, and, quote, now it's time to act on what we've learned, unquote, Rosenworkel said. Proposals for improving disaster communications include mutual aid arrangements that enable service providers to request or receive a request for assistance during emergencies. Companies would also draft more complete disaster plans under the proposal. Public safety and first responder groups, including the National Sheriff's Association and the International Association of Fire Chiefs, approved the proposals, Carr said. The mutual aid agreement may have emerged after some carriers had signals after Hurricane Ida hit the New Orleans area in 2021, but others did not. WWL asked readers, quote, why were Verizon subscribers still able to make calls while T-Mobile, Sprint, and AT&T customers couldn't, unquote. Nearby LaForche Parish did not have any cell service for a week after the storm hit. Anthony Norden, a construction manager with a cell company, said service providers can add backup generators and fuel supplies and otherwise hardened transmitter sites to stay on the airwaves. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Start happy you tried to cheat. In such a small, small game, don't you know it was wrong to cheat the trying men? Don't you know it was wrong to cheat the trying men? Don't you know it was wrong to cheat the trying men? Don't you know it was wrong to cheat the trying men? Someday you're gonna fall. Someday you're gonna fall. Why do you lie, steal, cheat and deceit, and try to trample people under your feet?
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
Yeah. Of course I like the Hard Rock Cafe. I am a party boy. I've always been a party boy. Let's fucking go!
That is Zach L. Kiba, party boy and reporter for Channel 9 Buffalo WZTV News. He's 6'2", clean, and hot. Likes fast movies, neon signs, and sinning. From wet t-shirts to wet pants, you might think, as he does, that he has seen it all and done it all. But he's never been to Niagara Falls. That changes tonight. He's been sent to neighboring Niagara to do a feature on the town's urban legends for Channel 9's annual Corny Halloween segment. He'll cover the well-known Niagara legends, of course, like the ghost of the chimp named Mark Twain, who was killed at a birthday party, who some say still haunts the third baseline of a Little League park. The mystery of the lace mummy found at the bottom of the cursed gorge. Entrees at Devil's Hole, pizza and ribs. The cult of psychic water farmers, who mysteriously vanished along with hundreds of others. But he's decided to arrive a night early, hit some bars, and get the real scoop on lesser-known stories from some salt-of-the-earth locals. He assumed that Niagara Falls would be bustling this Friday night, considering there was only one motel with any vacancy. He booked it online, a cheap place that didn't even have a name. But the streets are dead, pitch black. They didn't even bother turning on the streetlights. Further up the boulevard, he sees some lights, bulbs making a perfect circle. It seems to be the only place open at midnight on a Friday in this little town, but it's exactly what he was looking for, a gritty-looking dive bar called the Wagon Wheel. He walks through saloon doors to a room as quiet as the empty streets. No music, no chatter, among the two sleepy customers and a giant bartender. He calls out to her for a strong beer, and she answers simply by pounding a bottle on the bar while opening it in one smooth gesture before he even finishes his sentence. Wow, okay, let's get this party started then, says Zach with a fist pump. To the jukebox he goes. It's all classic rock, but that's all right by him. Oh yeah, Aerosmith. He picks his favorite tune, but when the music starts, it's not Aerosmith at all. Oh, that jukebox is broken, the bartender says. No matter what you choose, it's just gonna be Randy Newman. He sits down next to the drunkest of the clientele. Drinks on me tonight, Zach says, slaps a $5 bill on the table. As long as you can tell me some of the spookiest stories about Niagara Falls. I'm talking macabre, mysterious, and magical. There's an uninterested silence. Then the fellow next to him speaks up in a half burp.
You want to see something magical?
He asks El Kibaw to write a card on a cocktail napkin and place it upside down on the bar. Zach obliges with a grin with a two of clubs. The guy begins saying some magic words, but is brought to an abrupt stop by some internal churning. He rears back in anguish, then vomits all over the bar. He fans the vomit out in front of himself with two hands, while some of it hangs down from his lip. From the bottom of the pile of chunks, he pulls out a playing card, the two of clubs.
Is this your friggin' card?
Yes, it is my card, but how did you do that? Zach answers. But the drunk just stares ahead. He starts to chew on something he found in his mouth, then slowly falls asleep, while still holding the card up, letting it droop down from pinched fingers, dangling like an au jus-drenched slice of thin roast beef. From the corner of the bar, the other patron chimes in. Ah, don't pay any attention to him, he's drunk. You want the real story? I got one for you. He shuffles over a few seats and sits uncomfortably close to a reporter. It's the story of a newsman from Buffalo, he says, who came to Niagara Falls not too long ago. Handsome fella. Oh, yeah. He was staying at the Cascade Motel, room 33, when he was visited by the ghost of Nikola Tesla, who took the shape of a beautiful red-headed lady. They made sweet love in the woods. And then she sold him an hourglass that flows in only one direction. Once you turn it over, the sand trickles down, and if you survive its hour and turn it to the other side, the sand flows no more. Time stops for you, and you can be a party boy forever. He starts rubbing Zach's thigh with one hand, and with the other he pulls a gold coin from behind Zach's ear. Hold on to this, baby. You might need it. Zach squirms away and escapes to the bathroom. He locks himself in a stall. The deep breath he takes to regain his composure collects a lungful of foul air. Across from him, there's a sign on the tank of the toilet. Cleveland Browns parking only. It has a cartoon of a buffalo violently ejecting a turd wearing a Cleveland Browns jersey.
A turd in a Browns jersey?
But something seemed wrong about it. The turd is covered in blood, crying. And the buffalo was grotesquely anatomically correct and has red glowing eyes that follow him around the room. Fearfully, he diverts his glance, which falls on the dozens of lewd photographs from erotic magician magazines from the 80s, which are glued on the inside of the stall door.
He's like, I gotta get the hell out of here.
But back in the bar, the scene has changed dramatically. Party mode. Loaded. All three wagon wheelers are naked, oiled up, and pierced. They rush at him with penetrating eyes and fingers, laughing and gnashing their teeth. He peels himself away from their greasy claws and nearly makes it to the door before the bartender calls to him. But wait, you can't leave without these. She jangles his keys, which somehow made it from his jacket pocket to her hand. Hey, how did you get those? He lunges for them. And the bartender grabs him by the back of the head and presses his face deep into the gully of her cleavage. She whispers in his ear.
You're a legend in this town, party boy. You just don't know it yet.
And then releases him from her damp, weathered breasts. He collapses to the ground. She jumps on the bar, takes off her leather boot, and pulls an owl from it, which flaps madly around the saloon. They all scream and clap like maniacs as he springs to his feet. "You're just a bunch of crazed, horny magicians," he shouts over the blasting sounds of Randy Newman. He sprints out the door and drives his Mazda Miata as fast as he can to the address of the motel he booked. Indeed, the nameless motel has no name on its sign. Just illuminated plastic in the shape of a sign. It looks like it's been closed for decades. Not only is there nobody at the front desk, there is no front desk. Instead, there's a large brass machine with gears and pulleys and glass chambers protruding from the wall. On it, there's a sign. "Insert gold coin for room key." "Gold coin?" he asks himself. Then presses his hand to his jacket pocket, remembering the gold coin pulled from his ear by the lecherous wizard. He inserts the coin into the slot, and out comes a shiny silver key with a plastic keychain that says, "Cascade Motel, Room 33. Just then, the antique spiral filament light bulb flickers, and Zack stares at the ceiling in a trance, as words from the wagon wheel echo in his mind. "Party boy, forever."
"Don't switch the dial." I said, "Do not switch the dial. This is a test of the TV Corporation on radio with Cali."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we are gonna change your vibration, boy. People gonna get up.
can't take this away from where. Pop off a boy on tonight.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works, conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wavefarm is thrilled to partner with New American